Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
The program you listen to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM. Got a real good one this evening. We're going to visit with a local guy made good, maybe something like that. I don't
know. You must be talking about my little brother. He spanks my hand every time I call him little brother. He corrects me and says, I am your younger brother.
In the studio with me live is Buck Weatherby, and on the phone with us is his brother, Tom Weatherby. We're going to visit with him, learn a little bit about his upbringing here in Shamrock and some music he's done over the years. Get us started here, Buck.
Hey, Tom, welcome to Big Time Radio in Shamrock, Texas.
Welcome, everybody out there. Appreciate the opportunity to do this.
We're delighted that you could take time. You're out in Reno, Nevada these days, right, Tom?
That's correct, and you pronounced it right.
How do most pronounce it?
Unlike those Texas Tech announcers, while Texas Tech was beating the Nevada basketball team.
Oh, all right. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit about you growing up in Shamrock, reading some of the things that notes that you had written down. I guess our mom and dad, Prof. Weatherby and Frankie Weatherby, kind of blamed your musical career on me because when you were 6 years old, I gave you a little drum set.
That's correct. Mom was trying to make a piano player out of me since I was born. She set me on the piano stool, and we have several pictures of me banging on it. But, you gave me a set of little trap set of drums when I was about six so I could be like little Ricky Ricardo on TV. And then you left, and they got to listen to me drumming all day, every day.
That's why they frowned at me every time I came home to visit.
No, that was because you brought a big old load of laundry, usually, from college.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Did that drum set just mysteriously disappear once, or
you know, I kept it until I finally traded it in on a guitar.
All right.
Yeah, Gary is a guitar picker, so you guys have got a lot in common. Now, how did you graduate, Tom, from that little drum set that I gave you into your first band that you put together here in Shamrock?
Well, Mom, again, put me in some piano lessons with Mrs. Lola B. Brannon when I was about eight. And then the Beatles came along when I was about in the fourth grade. That would have made me about 10. And I tried to do a little drumming there, and I decided that a guitar was easier to haul around, and the girls seemed to like Paul McCartney and John Lennon better than it did Ringo, so I wanted to switch to the guitar. Well, they were afraid I wouldn't stick with it, so they borrowed a guitar from Pastor Melton there at the Methodist Church, and I took some lessons from Cecil Rook. He was a blind man, lived down on Madden Street, and we had lessons out on his porch, and he had this big yellow German Shepherd C&I dog that sat right there by my feet. And that's how I learned to play, and I would practice that guitar till my fingers bled, and they finally bought me an old Korean guitar called a Marco Polo for Christmas the next year, and they couldn't hardly get me to practice the piano anymore. And so finally, Mom in the sixth grade said I could quit the piano lessons and keep the guitar lessons going, but I had to join the junior high band, too. So I learned to play the cornet there, and then they bought me an electric guitar. That worked its way up to that. And in junior high, I had a little band with Chris Moore and Craig Alexander and Rodney Curry and Tyree Thompson. We told the coach one day in school that we were putting a band together, and he said, what are you going to call it, Tom Thumb and the Four Fingers? And we kind of liked that, so we stuck with it till Tyree quit, and then we lost a finger, and we changed our name to the Blue Coats. And we had a little four-piece band, and the only paying gig, we played a few parties, birthdays and things like that, but the only paying gig we ever had was Don Biggers hired us to play for Crazy Days. They used to have this big Saturday sale up downtown. Everybody participated, and he put us on a trailer out in front of Mankin Drug, and we played there.
Hey, Tom, talk about the talent show you guys did. I think maybe in the...
Oh, yeah, that was fourth grade. I had my little drum set, and St. Patrick's Day had a talent contest that year, and I thought we ought to enter. So I got Richard Williams and Danny Yarbrough and Norman Rushing to get together, and we learned to pantomime or lip sync couple of Beatles songs, and I played the drums, and they played guitars, or acted like they were playing guitars. And Richard and Danny had a guitar, but Norman didn't have one, so we cut him one out of cardboard. And so we're up there on the, they called it the National Guard Armory back then. I think they call it the Community Center now.
You got that right.
But, you know, we were in there. Gene Price and another guy were kind of the MCs, and they played guitars. And then the Velasquez brothers were in it, and we were in it. And I really can't remember anybody else. So I think we came in second to the Velasquez brothers. And I remember Danny Yarbrough's daddy looking over at my mom and dad and said, "Ain't this a great way to spend a Friday night?"
And the Velasquez brothers, they ended up in Reno after a few years. Are you still in contact with any of those guys? Or
I still see Albert every now and then. And they were playing most of the casinos around here when I moved here in 1998. And I sent a note up to the stage one time when I first moved out here. Albert said, "You know, there's somebody here from Shamrock, Texas, and we don't know your daughter."
We recently developed a department of shameless plugs, and Market Square Thriftway has been a big supporter of our radio station. So that's the Velasquez brother. That's Johnny Velasquez. I don't know if you remember Johnny, but I think Johnny probably played drums with them back in those days.
He played
days.
Accordion, too.
Accordion? Okay.
Yeah,
Albert was my age, and Johnny was the first drummer, I think. And then when he kind of moved on, got married and everything, Albert came in as the drummer. And Johnny was actually, I had another band when I was in the last 2 years of high school with some boys from McLean called Purple Haze. And Johnny was kind of our manager, and he would book us in to the teen centers in Canadian and McLean and Wheeler and some other places around like that.
Wow. That's
well, Tom, before we get into some of your recent musical feats and successes, I have to tell you, I've done some TV interviews of pointing out to different television stations that are visiting Shamrock, and we take them up to the tallest water tower in the state of Texas, and the question they always ask me is, "Have you ever climbed that water tower?" And I said, "No, I never was that brave, but my younger brother did." Tell us about climbing that water tower.
Well, I believe it was on graduation night in 1972, and there wasn't any other riding up there, so I don't know if they had painted it recently or whatever, but I remember seeing people would get up there and write senior 60-something in the old days. Ronnie Sodra and I decided we were going to climb the water tower and put senior 72 on it. I think we might have been to a party somewhere beforehand.
Kool-Aid wasn't involved, huh?
Yes, there was Kool-Aid involved, adult beverages, even though we were only 18 at that time. Seemed like it might have been out at the sale barn there north of town. Anyhow, there was nobody on the street by the time we decided to climb this water tower, except Joe Wilkinson was walking around a little bit, maybe driving around, and we just headed up the southeast corner leg. And, of course, there's no ladder till you get to the very top. So we were actually climbing the girders, and we get up to the top, and we get up to the ladder that takes you out onto the little platform there, and we ride our senior 72. And then we realized that that ladder slopes out, and we didn't know how we were going to get our feet back on that ladder after we slid off of that platform. But we made it and came on down, and actually, I think a couple years later, the class of 75 paid us to climb it and write their name on it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what, I never was that brave, but I get asked that question quite a bit. Did you ever climb that water tower? And I said, no, but my younger brother did. You know, let's talk a little bit about how you graduated from a little bitty drum set that I gave you when you were 6 years old to a couple of CDs that you and a cowboy poet partner by the name of Dennis Golden had recorded. One of them is called The Call of the Range, and tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, good. After I got out of high school, I went to Texas Tech, and I traded all my electric stuff in for a 12-string acoustic guitar, and never really played in a band after that. And when I moved out here, you know, we'd sit around a campfire, and I was in a ski club, and, you know, the guitar was always kind of a door opener for me to make friends and things like that, meet girls. So
let's get things in proper order. That meeting girls probably was number one, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. So anyhow, I was on a hunting trip with three guys from work. We were up near Winnemucca, Nevada, at a private hunting club. It was snowing and cold outside, so we were all crammed in a little trailer for the night. I had my guitar. One of the fellas had a harmonica and a book of poems he had written. His name was Dennis Golden. So we played there a little bit all night, and he'd do a poem and try to, and I'd sing a song. He'd play a little harmonica along with me, and we all had a good time that night. And then later that year, that hunt club, the next August, invited us to come back and put on a little show for their antelope hunt. They kind of have a big barbecue for the start of the antelope season, hunting season. And so we did, and we really didn't work anything up. I'd sing a song, he'd do a cowboy poem. And I'd do a song, he'd do a cowboy poem. And, you know, we had a pretty good crowd there, and they enjoyed it. And later on that fall, he had a buddy that would play guitar with him, and he played at a couple of little county gatherings every year. And this other guy got a job that he couldn't practice or anything. So Dennis asked me if I'd like to work something up with him. And so we started. I didn't know anything about, you know, Western music. I knew old country music. I grew up, you know, playing Merle Haggard and Buck Owens and stuff like that. But I didn't know anything about, you know, Gene Autry and that sort of music so much. But he recommended three or four things I ought to learn, and I did. And so we put a little show together, and it went over pretty well. And we ended up doing this for about 9 years all over Northern Nevada and Northern California. After Dad passed away, I was looking at some of his poems that he had written. Dad started writing poetry after he retired from teaching ag there in Shamrock. And one of them was called The Call of the Range. And I asked Dennis if he would like to do it in our show, and he looked at it. He says, you ought to put this to music, make a song out of it. So I played around with it for 2-3 weeks, and it didn't have a chorus or anything, and it had an odd number of verses. So I've got a tune I liked, and it was all fitting pretty good, but I had to write a final verse to it as kind of a tribute to Dad. That kind of became our theme song, and we made it the title of our first CD that we put out after about 3 years of doing this.
Yeah, I'm looking at your CD here. Look at that, Gary. There's The Call of the Range right there on the CD. Why don't we play that cut right now?
Yeah, let's listen to that, and we'll be back and visit with Tom Weatherby in just a minute.
I must go out on the range again, where the prairie is wide as the sea. All that I need is a good cow, horse, and a saddle made for me. Wind in my face, I feel in place here in the land of my youth. The canyon walls majestically tall aid in my search for truth. Turns, the water flows, and the cattle drink their fill. Mesquite trees grow, and grandma grass flows like a carpet over the hill. The bobwhite call, the mockingbird song, the coyote howls at night. They're lonesome calls, but wake-up calls to a native's pure delight. I must go out on the range again, far from the hustle and fears, where days may come and days may go and mature into peaceful years. I must go out on the range again, far from my home and my wife. I must go out on the range again as the sun sets on my life.
Well, that song you listened to just now was from Tom Weatherby, and it's called The Call of the Range. We're visiting with Tom Weatherby. Got Buck Weatherby in the studio with us.
Older brother Buck is
Tom's
here.
Tom's out in Reno. Is it Nevada? Nevada? It just
Nevada.
On, if you're a Texas Tech announcer, it's...
Yeah, Nevada.
Nevada. Yeah. Nevada. Nevada. You say Nevada, I say Nevada. But.
Anyhow, I would mention, along with Tom, Gary, that the poetry that Tom was talking about that our dad wrote, most of that he wrote when he was in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of that, he was 80 years old when he wrote a lot of that.
You guys talk just a little bit about your dad. That guy is an amazing part of the county history.
Well, he is still kind of an icon when people talk about him here in Shamrock. He was a VOAG teacher for 37 years here, right, Tom?
What a lot of people don't know is that when he was a young man in college at West Texas State, or West Texas Teachers College at that time, he was in a band called the T-Anchor Troop, and he played the mandolin. They had a guitar and a fiddle and another guy doing something, and Dad would do, he wasn't much of a mandolin player, but he was the sidekick, and he did rope tricks and told jokes.
he was quite a guy, and you know, I'm sure you miss him as much as I do, Tom.
You betcha, every day.
Well, and that, you know, that's I'm a little younger than you guys are, but even with me growing up, I remember stories about Prof, and one of my teachers at Wheeler was George Gandy, and I think they were maybe college roommates or something back from the day. Is that,
they were both college roommates, and they both had old Harley Davidson motorcycles.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. That's true. Those Harley guys are all right, Buck. You know.
Yeah. Tom, let's talk about some of the people that you and Dennis Golden have done some shows with. And, you know, your CDs, you have two that have come out, Dennis Golden and Texas Tom Weatherby. You know, we're proud that you're playing, still playing that Texas card out there.
Oh, yeah. I was in a ski race when I first moved out here and got to the bottom of the hill, and the gal asked me what my name was, and I said, Tom. She goes, oh, man, I've already got three Toms on the list. And I said, well, I'm from Texas. She wrote Texas Tom, and it stuck for 25 years.
What list was this? Yeah. Oh, it was for the racers. Okay. Yeah. I thought maybe she was collecting names.
So. Now, you have you and Dennis have done shows out there in Nevada with some pretty big cowboy poetry groups, haven't you?
Yes, sir. We our first big gig was in a 900-seat amphitheater outdoors, and the two biggest names in this cowboy poetry and music field is Waddy Mitchell, who's actually an Elko, Nevada cowboy who turned cowboy poet, and Don Edwards, who's from down around Fort Worth, somewhere down there in Texas, and he's the leading authority of Western music history. I guess in the world, and we opened a show for them, and then you know, Elko, Nevada has a cowboy poetry festival. It's called the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering every year, and so Reno decided they were going to get on that bandwagon, and they started a cowboy poetry festival, and we were invited to participate in that with Junie Fisher and Sourdough Slim and Tom Russell. No, that was a little bit later on. But the next year we had Baxter Black was there, and he was back with Waddy and Don. And one time out in Elko, we got to follow up Tom Russell and Ian Tyson and Ramblin' Jack Elliott. And we got to be the opening act for Michael Martin Murphy also one night. And so it's really kind of fun to play with those people and get to know them.
Let's talk a little bit about this song that you guys recorded on your Call of the Range CD called Rufus Buck.
Yeah, a friend of mine named Larry Nye in Plainview, Texas, wrote that song back when I lived up there working for Farm Bureau in early mid-70s. And when I started putting this CD together, I'd always played this song, and I called Larry, and we tried not to pay it any royalties on this CD. We didn't have enough original music to fill it up. Of course, Dennis had plenty of poems, but I called Larry and I said, can I put Rufus Buck on my CD? And he said, sure. And so I did an arrangement of that. And it's a story about an old 17-year-old outlaw. I believe he was from Arkansas. And Larry read about this in one of those National Time Life book called The Outlaws.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a minute. We're going to listen to Rufus Buck. And we'll be back in the studio in just a few minutes. We've got Tom Weatherby from Reno, Nevada with us. And Buck Weatherby in the studio.
Nevada.
I'm going to get that down before
this. We'll get him straightened out, Tom.
Probably never. All right, let's listen to Rufus Buck. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Billy rode down from the mountain, and he did not make a sound. Like the gun hanging from his waist, old Rufus was low down. But Parker had his number, and his days were wearing thin. Someday Rufus Buck must hang for the wages of his sin. Rufus Buck, he was an outlaw, and his aim was always straight. A one-eyed jack. Well, he robbed and he plundered and he rampaged through the town. And the smoke poured from his .44 as he gunned some good men down. He could feel the hangman riding hard on a purebred southern steed. And the end was quickly drawing near for Rufus and his deed. Rufus Buck, he was an outlaw, and his aim was always straight. But a man can't trust his soul to a one-eyed jack. Now he hangs up in the mountains, and he does not make a sound. Where the guns once hung around his waist, his hands have been tied down. With a rope around his neck, and his legs bound up in chains, the hangman pulled a trap on Rufus and his gang. Rufus Buck, he was an outlaw, and his aim was always straight. With a one-eyed jack and eight.
All right, well, the program we're listening to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM. We got a good one going today, Buck.
Gonna
be in from Reno, Nevada. How'd I do?
Hey, you got it right
all
that
right,
time.
I'll do it until the next break, and then I'll probably mess it up.
Those Texas Tech guys, Tom, they, you know, some of them just don't know how to pronounce Nevada.
That's right.
Anyhow, tell us a little bit about this song that we have coming up, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah, it's written by a guy named Mike Beck, and we met him in a little playing in a little bar out in Elko at the first Cowboy Poetry Festival I went to. And he's a horse trainer and a singer-songwriter, and kind of got a little more of a modern touch to his music. And I bought one of his CDs, and this song was on it, and we started playing it. I kind of arranged it a little different for acoustic. It became one of our most popular songs, and, you know, there's a lot of cowboys and buckaroos out in Nevada and Northern California, so, you know, I fit right in out here. They wear boots and hats and everything, and this song is letting everybody know that the West is not dead and gone.
Well, you know, you talk about all the cowboys out there in Nevada. Having the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas doesn't hurt the state of Nevada with cowboys a whole lot, does it?
No, it doesn't. They've actually got a license plate that you can buy called the Rodeo State, and we have a pretty big rodeo up here in Reno, too. I think it's the fifth richest rodeo in the country every year in June.
I think I remember you and I went to that rodeo last year.
I don't remember much about it, but I think we did.
We'll take that to get into this next song. Let's listen to Don't Tell Me the West is Dead and Gone with Tom Weatherby. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
I want to saddle my horse in darkness and trot out through the morning dew. Breathe some air that's never been breathed. I want to drink the wine of freedom and toast the good ones that we knew. I want to count a million stars and think of you. I want to see one more hometown rodeo where it's hats off for the flag. Cheer the bucking horse and the wild ride. I want to put a hole in my TV set and let the silence ring true. I want to count a million stars and think of you. But don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying, son, you missed it all, here's hoping that you're wrong. And don't tell me it's dead and gone.
I want to see one more Charlie Russell print in some old rundown cafe where old men and coffee tell their tales. I want to ride out with the wagons through the scent of the springtime sage. I want to keep the wind in my back on down the trail. But don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying, son, you missed it all, here's hoping that you're wrong. And don't tell me it's dead and gone. Wanna see sun tan cowgirl cheeks and long braids neath a hat. Hear the summer rain on the roof at a country dance. Then we'll ride out our raging storms till the light comes shining through. I'm gonna count a million stars and think of you. But don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying, son, you missed it all, here's hoping that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Don't tell me it's dead and gone.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. Got Buck Weatherby in the studio. Visiting with Buck's brother Tom from Reno, Nevada. Getting to listen to some of their original music and one written by his dad, even. And this is a lot of fun, Buck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was quite an honor to Dad for his song to be recorded. And years earlier, I remember that I read some of his poetry and put it on a disc, and then Tom came along and set it actually to real music and recorded it on a CD. And I know Dad's up there in heaven smiling down at you, Tom.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Well, Gary, you keep calling my brother Tom, and that is his name, you know, but we're talking here about a recording artist by the name of Texas Tom Weatherby.
Texas Tom Weatherby.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to throw that Texas in
all
there.
Right,
you
yeah,
know.
We got to get that in there.
Yeah, Dennis Golden and Texas Tom Weatherby. did their second CD called Modoc to the Black Rock. And what are we going to play out of that, Gary?
One of the songs on there is Old Nevada Road. Tell us a little bit about that song.
All righty. If you've ever been out here in Nevada and driven out through the cow country, I call it, you'll see a might be a dirt road or might be a paved road, and they just go off in every direction, and you can't see anything as far as you can see. And you know, Dennis wrote a poem, or he was starting to write his poetry where it had rhythm to it. That was the biggest challenge that I had trying to put his lyrics to verse, was that, you know, he'd ramble on one line and it wouldn't fit. So I would have to edit his poems down to where they could stay in rhythm into a song. And I told him, I said, if you're writing farther out on one line than the rest of them, you've got too many words in it. So anyway.
that's pretty high-tech stuff there.
Yeah, and he did handwrite everything, and then he put it in the computer. So anyhow, this one is talking about, you know, you wonder, where'd that road go, you know? And there's way too many of them for you to ever explore them all. And I put this one to music, and this was of the ones that we have written, was, of course, the most requested one in here. And they have a Nevada Day every year, and there's a radio program called the Risky Biscuit Hayseed Hoot. It's hootradio.com, if you ever want to look at that. And they play some of our stuff, and every year on Nevada Day, they play that.
We didn't put near enough thought into our program name here.
We're followed every day by Jim Boy's Juke Joint, Roadhouse Cafe, and Acoustic something or other.
Anyway, Old Nevada Roads, getting stuck in a snowstorm like the Donner Party. Let's listen to this song, and we'll be back with Texas Tom Weatherby in just a few minutes.
You know, whenever I wander out on one of Nevada's back roads, which as often as possible, I'm always fascinated by all the roads that head off in every direction. You know, where does that one go, and where does it end? But it seems like there are just too many roads and too little time. And that's what prompted me to write this song. And Texas Tom put it to music. We call it Old Nevada Roads. Out there in Nevada, those roads they call to me. It's dust and rocks and alkali, but where I want to be. They wind across long sagebrush flats toward mountains, rims, and draws. Where do they go? Where do they end? I need to see them all.
The rim rocks all are quiet, the silence moves the sage. And yet those faint old wagon tracks, each spring I hear their page.
Folks ask me why it matters, why I feel compelled to go down dusty old Nevada Road. And if you have to ask, you'll never know.
I've seen film of London and Madrid 100 times or so. The same with the poles both north and south, so I really needn't go. Those old Nevada mountains hide roads I need to see. Places that they'll never show on movies or TV.
But aren't they all the same? They ask, why bother take the time? Why not take a Baja cruise or a hike up in the pines?
Folks ask me why it matters, why I feel compelled to go down dusty old Nevada Road. And if you have to ask, you'll never know. I need to see every canyon,
every coulee, ravine, and draw. But now my time is running out, and I've yet to see them all. Will I find a miner's cabin? What will that next turn bring? Got to get on down that road, 'cause the end is everything.
Well, who first staked a claim here, moved rock to find the loam, rolled up their sleeves, put down their roots, who came and made it home?
Folks ask me why it matters, why I feel compelled to go down dusty old Nevada road. And if you have to ask, and if you have to ask, and if you have to ask, you'll never know.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends, Wisdom with Texas Tom Weatherby from Reno, Nevada. I am getting that down so good, I'm going to feel like a local here before long.
My gosh, you learn quick,
got
Gary.
Buck Weatherby in the studio with me, and we're just enjoying this. It's kind of fun catching up on some of Tom's tall tales.
So. Back when Tom was Tom David Weatherby, the class of, what did you say, Tom, 72?
72.
All right. Yeah, graduate of Shamrock High.
All right. The next song we want to listen to is one called We Don't Drink and Drive.
No More.
No More. We Don't Drink and Drive No More.
Or No Mo.
No Mo.
So yeah, Dennis and I always did a little funny bit about, does everybody in Texas drink Jack Daniels? And we put it on this CD. And then He came to me one day and he said, I got this song started and I want it to kind of be a rockabilly kind of a song, upbeat, a little rock and rollish. And I said, okay. And so he gave me the words and I got to reading it, and it's talking about, you know, in the old days, you didn't think about drinking and on the job or whatever. And, after your cutting was done, you know, and in the hay field and stuff like that, and at somebody's wake, you know, because you rode a horse home, you know. And then when the automobile came around, it tended to change things. You know, his poem was just a little too mournful to me to make a rockabilly song about it. I tried. I got a good chorus to it. I got a good beat to it, but I had to change a lot of it. Well, he ended up not really liking my song, and I didn't really like his poem, so
mutual admiration society, huh?
As a compromise, which you have to do when you got a partnership going, we did my joke, and then we did his poem, and then I sang my song. So we've got the Western cowboy poetry and music version of Inagata Davida here. It's about 9 minutes long, but I think you'll enjoy it.
All right. We're going to take a listen to that, and then we'll be back in about 9 minutes.
Okay.
So why is Jack Daniel's so popular in Texas?
Oh, it's a square bottle.
A square bottle?
Yeah, square bottle doesn't roll around on the floor of your pickup like a round whiskey bottle does.
Oh, so it's kind of a Texas safety driving feature.
Yes, sir. We take our drinking and driving very seriously in Texas.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, when I was taking my driving test when I was about 15, there was a part of that test you had to open a fresh can of beer, set it between your legs, parallel park your pickup while peeking between the rifle and the shotgun in your back window.
How'd you do?
Well, I passed, of course. I'd been practicing since I was 10 years old.
Well, I didn't start drinking quite that early, but like Tom, I have some good memories, too. Like when you'd pop the top on a cold one after working cattle, or with the haying crew. Remember folding bloody knives when Brandon's done and backs were sore? In the truck, we'd toast the job done, but we don't drink and drive no more. Or when you'd find a froze crew driving cattle, we'd pass the bottle out the pickup door and warm a cold old cowboy. But we don't drink and drive no more. Well, remember how Compound, Low, and Balin Wire did the driving for your solitary winter feeding chore? Your reward? A warming nip from that bottle in the bales. But we don't drink and drive no more. Or the time we shared whiskey from a tin cup, as our pard got only a sagebrush cross to open Glory's door. But now it's weak Grange Hall Java to toast their memories, 'cause we don't drink and drive no more.
Cowboys love whiskey and beer, and they're always happy to share. It'll warm you up on a cold winter morn. It'll lessen the pain when your love is forlorn. When your neighbors rode over at night, and we wound up a little too tight. When it came time to go, your friends would all know. Old Dan always knew the way home. But then came the automobile. We traded our horses for wheels. Well, the trouble began. Don't you know what I mean? Fine whiskey don't mix with high-test gasoline. Well, a horse, he can buck you and pitch, but I hate waking up in a ditch with the radio on and my truck still in gear. Where am I now and how did I get here? We don't drink and drive anymore. At least not like we did before. Still remember how, but those days are memories now. 'Cause we don't drink and drive anymore. We'd blow the dust off of an 8-track, crank it up above the engine roar. Jared, Jeff, or maybe John Prine, we were out to have us a real fine time. But we don't drink and drive anymore. Saturday night we drove into the dance hall. We'd swig and swagger into town. Drink ourselves a half. Crowd's too young and the music sounds like war. So we're out at the ranch, sipping our bourbon and brandy. 'Cause we don't drink and drive anymore. We don't drink and drive anymore. At least not like we still remember how, but those days are memories now. 'Cause we don't drink and drive anymore.
If you find yourself out on the town, and you know you've had too much to drink, you better think twice before you jump in that truck. Or you just might wind up in the cold county clink. Cowboys love whiskey and beer, but you best lend me an ear. Remember what that old cowboy told you before. You can't drink and drive anymore.
For the program's Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM, we've been just really having a good time today. Got Buck Weatherby in the studio with me.
And we have taught Gary Ware how to pronounce Nevada.
Well, it's taken almost an hour, but we're about to get it down. So. And I may call Tom tomorrow and mispronounce it, but as for today, I'm getting it down.
Yeah.
On the phone with us is Texas Tom Weatherby in Reno, Nevada, and I have got that. I mean, smooth.
Yeah.
Buck, we want to talk a little bit about this song, The Family Reunion.
The Family Reunion. Now, the Weatherby clan that Texas Tom's dad and my dad, Prof. Weatherby, Prof. was one of eight children. My dad was actually raised by our uncle T.D. Weatherby that resided down at Memphis most of his adult life. The kids were orphaned. Dad, I think, well, what was he, Tom? About five
three.
Or 6 years old, wasn't he?
About when three.
When he was orphaned, he was three. And I think he went to live with Uncle T.D., who was more like our grandfather. But Uncle T.D., seeing how all of the eight kids kind of got split up and went different directions, Uncle T.D. was a real stickler for the family staying together, and they always made it a point to get together at Christmas, and then we'd have a family reunion somewhere down by the lake somewhere where Uncle T.D. had a cabin. But family and family staying together and having a couple of reunions a year, so all the brothers and sisters, which ended up being Tom and my uncle and aunts, that was real important to them. And I'm kind of proud to say Tom and I and a couple of our cousins down south of Fort Worth have been pretty instrumental in keeping that family reunion going. And that was kind of the beginning back in those days of this song that Tom wrote. Tell us a little bit about how you got into writing this song, Tom.
Yeah, I believe it was 1979, Buck, and our oldest aunt, my dad's oldest sister, her name was Zula, and she'd been in a nursing home and probably had a little dementia about that time, and they rolled her out into went and got her and brought her to the reunion, and I had played the guitar, and I think you may have been there and sang The Race Is On with me, and there was one other cousin did something, and Zula starts telling us a story about her daddy, which most of us knew nothing about.
Our granddaddy.
Her daddy.
Yeah.
And the little story she told was that he was a fiddle player, and he had a 140-acre farm right there south of Fort Worth around Rata, Texas. He paid for that farm by playing music on the weekends down in Fort Worth. One Sunday morning, they were all in church, and the piano player, the organ player, didn't show up. And the preacher said, "Charlie Weatherby, can you play the piano?" He said, "Yeah, I can play the piano." And they got up there and said, "What do you want to play?" He'd tell them, and he did everything by ear. And she had no idea. She was a little girl and had no idea her dad could play the piano. So I've already told you that my mother was a piano player, and my brother there is a drummer. My dad played the mandolin. And on the way home, I was trying to find, they held this reunion in Waco, Texas. And on the way home, I was trying to find a Luckenbach, and I was going to go there. And, you know, there's no big neon sign telling you this is the road to Luckenbach. I never did find it. But I sat down beside the road, you know, and I think I had a brand-new Porsche car, and I didn't want to smoke cigarettes in it. So I sat down on the side of the road and smoked a cigarette and got thinking about this story she'd told me. And when I got home, I wrote a song, and I named it The Fiddler. But it talks about, you know, everybody in my family that has a musical background.
And one thing I might mention, Tom, before we play that song, the ranch that you talk about, as my dad, our dad, used to say, it was just right across the creek from where Bob Wills was raised.
Well, that was where he went to live with Uncle T.D. It was called the Letts Ranch, yeah, right outside of Lakeview, Texas. And right. Bob Wills was their nearest neighbor. And he even was a barber back then and cut my dad's hair. And they would go to dances on Saturday night at somebody's house, and they would move all the furniture out of the house and dance into four rooms. The Wills brothers would set up in the middle of those four rooms, and people would dance in all four rooms, and then they'd all put the furniture back in the house and ride home afterwards.
You know, and talking about fiddles and Bob Wills, you know, a lot of people around Shamrock, Tom, know that Dad, after he retired, got into making some miniature fiddles. He numbered them as he made them, and I have number one and you have number two. I don't know what the number is, but one of his little fiddles is in the Bob Wills Museum down at Turkey.
Yeah, there was a whole display at one time. I haven't been there in many, many years.
It's still there.
Yeah, they have he made a fiddle, a couple of fiddles, and a little guitar and a little mandolin, and made a display for them and gave it to them.
Yeah, someone had gone down there and gone through that museum the other day at Franklin Canal here in town, and he saw Dad's display down there and was talking to the curator there about it and whatnot. So those little fiddles are still around, and the name of this song that we're going to play next is The Fiddle.
The Fiddler. It's called The Fiddler, after my granddad.
All right.
I think that'd be my granddad too, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
All right, well, we're going to listen to The Fiddler. We're going to be back to wrap this thing up in just a few minutes.
Well, I never knew my granddad, but they said he was a fiddling fool. He could play any song he'd ever heard. Fiddle was his tune. Well, he bought him a farm in the heart of Texas when he was 17. And he paid for the farm by fiddling in the city. And they tell me he could make it sing. He was a farmer by day, a fiddler at night, a husband and a father, baby. Played piano one Sunday in a little country church in the middle of the Lone Star State. My daddy played the mandolin around 1932. Spinning the rope, telling a joke, trying to pull a laugh out of you. Well, he met my mama playing her piano, the best he'd ever heard. She could play it high, she could play it low, she could sing just like a bird. My brother was a rocker in the Buddy Holly days, when Peggy Sue, white buck shoes were the rage. When I got this guitar back in 1964, the music of my granddad was reborn. Well, I got music in my blood and I got music in my veins. Songs for when the sun shines and songs for when it rains. When I go to heaven, I hope that I will see my guitar and my family band waiting there on me. My mama be a-playing her piano. My daddy'll be a-picking mandolin. My brother, he's a drummer. He'll be laying down a rhythm. And the fiddler starts to break down once again. Circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, oh, by and by. We can sing our song.
go, won't be broken by and by, Lord, oh, by and by. We can sing our song forever in the sky, Lord, in the sky. In the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Program you've been listening to is Lyrics and Legends, visiting with Texas Tom Weatherby from Reno, Nevada. Getting to hear some of his music, along with his singing partner, Dennis Golden, some of his stuff. Been a lot of fun, Buck.
Yeah, Dennis and Texas Tom Weatherby have two CDs out, The Call of the Range, titled after a song that our dad, Prof. Weatherby, wrote as a poem, and Tom turned it into a song. And second CD that we played some music from is Modoc to the Black Rock. And Tom, Brother Tom, it's been a great pleasure having you on Lyrics and Legends, Gary.
All right. And Tom, if somebody wants to get a hold of a CD or something, do you guys have a website, or do they...
You know, we haven't performed in public in about 3 years now, and we've shut everything down. But if they get a hold of you or Buck, I can arrange to ship them a CD or two.
All right, we can make that
anybody.
Happen.
You betcha. Appreciate it. I've had a great time talking to you guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for taking time to visit with us. We'll look forward to the next time you come out to Shamrock, Texas. I'll make Buck take us over to Big Vern's or something and buy us a steak.
All right.
Thanks again, Tom. Talk to you soon.
All right. YouTube, guys. Thanks.
Well, Buck, that was a lot of fun visiting with Tom on the phone there. I'm glad you set that up for us.
Yeah, you learned how to pronounce Nevada. I had to correct myself calling him my little brother, because he spanks my hand and frowns at me every time I call him my little brother.
Well, it was also fun getting to go back to some of the history back in the in his earlier days, and some of the other guys that played music around here, like the Velasquez Brothers and so forth.
Right.
So that's,
and Ty Thompson.
Ty Thompson, yeah. So a ton of fun to get to hear all that and kind of get another piece of the puzzle filled in with this Shamrock, Texas, and Wheeler County music scene.
You know, the more we do this show, Lyrics and Legends, on 92.9, the more we discover all of the musical history that, you know, was right around this area. You know, you talk about Jimmy Dean, you talk about famous people like Roger Miller,
Gene Price,
Bill
Mack, hosting the talent show that your brother was in. So.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun.
But anyhow, it was a great time being here on Legends, Lyrics and Legends.
Lyrics and Legends on Legends 92 Time.
This has been another edition of
Lyrics and Legends
with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time, here on Legends 92.9.